The book of Revelation we're going to be teaching and have been teaching through this book. Seems like I'm not getting through it very quickly, but I asked the Lord to just allow me to follow it at His pace. But we're going to, into the second chapter, we're going to try to finish up the first letter to the church of Ephesus. We gave you an overview of the seven letters a couple weeks ago. They were all dictated by Jesus. They were penned by John. Jesus introduces Himself in every one of them, but in seven different ways. They're all addressed to the angel or messenger of that church. They're all written to actual existing local New Testament churches. All of them contain the statement, I know thy works. Most contain both encouragement and some rebuke. All of them contain the statement, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All of them contain a promise for the one who will overcome. And so we don't spend as much time, since we taught almost a whole lesson on that. We probably will just then go through and examine, for the most part, the positives and negatives in each of the books. Have I prayed yet? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. And Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done in our hearts this past week. And Lord, all of the excitement of the months ahead. And Lord, thank you just for allowing us to be here and minister in this place. Thank you for the blessing and protection you give this church, Lord. And I pray that you'd use this lesson to help us as a church as we examine the very words of Christ as he does an analysis on a real local New Testament church. And I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We spent last week looking at some of the positives. They labor, they had patience, they couldn't bear them that were evil, they were careful, they had patiently borne, they have worked without fainting, they were careful and watchful as far as the people that came into their church that claimed to be something, to make sure that they were what they claimed to be. The one thing that Jesus Christ warns them about, we're going to try to spend our entire lesson, for the most part, on that one thing. Now, let's look, because I want to get right into this and give full time and attention to it. Verse 4 and 5 is where our focus is going to be in Revelation chapter 2. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So even though there's just one negative, it's a very serious negative. The warnings that accompany this are there in verse number 5. Jesus views this fault in their life as something that has caused them to fall. They are fallen. He says they should repent of it. He says it's preventing them from doing the first works. He threatens that if they do not fix this and fix it quickly, that he will come personally to them and remove their candlestick. So you can, whatever this is, it's a serious thing. Despite all of the positives in this church, this one thing can cost them the blessing and the power of Almighty God upon their ministry. What is this thing? Thou hast left thy first love. Last week, we spoke about that word leaving or left as meaning laid aside or forsaken. The word first there means foremost in time, place, order, importance. And the word love there is very, very important because it is the word that refers to the love of God, the agape love, the first or the most important of all loves. And we begin to introduce the idea of phileo love versus agape love. Now, let me help you with this, folks. There's a love that every one of us is capable of without God's help. It's a phileo love. It's a human love. And when we get saved, we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit and His presence in our life, He can produce through us the fruits of the Spirit. And the very first one listed on that list of fruits of the Spirit is agape love or a God love. And so if we're not careful, we operate in the human love mode instead of accessing through surrendering to the Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit of God, the God love that He wants us to use in ministry. Phileo love is a shared love or a love between friends. It's very, really actually somewhat self-serving. Affection is a result of personal attachment, shared interest, or reciprocated affection. It says this: I love you because of the enjoyment I receive as a result of our relationship. In other words, I love you because I get something from it. I love you because you like me. I love you because you're nice to me. I love you because you give me things or say nice things to me. It is reliant upon the participation of the other. Because of that, it can wane or wander. It can begin and end. Where when we study agape love, the Bible says that it never fails. Now on the opposite, or not opposite, but the higher standard of love is agape love. It's from God. Man can't manufacture it, buy it, create it, secure or hoard it, or they can't destroy it. We can channel it, and I mentioned this, but by doing so, we are touched by it and transformed by it. It's the love of God lent to us to disperse upon others. Now what had happened here in the church is, I believe that they'd left their first love. They used to serve through the divine love of God. At some point, they began to still serve, but they took a step down. They began to try to operate through fleshly love or human love. And that love, again, it becomes a selfish love. Agape love is a decision. I love you regardless, forever, as God has chosen to love me, I love you. Only Christians can give agape love. Phileo love comes from the soul, the mind, the emotions. Agape love flows from a reborn, surrendered spirit. A man imparting to another agape love is man at his very best. Now, I want to talk to you about this because I believe if we need to operate in church and in ministry with a divine anointing, a divine touch that produces through us the love of God to people around us. You know, it's impossible, now get this, it's impossible to be effective in serving the Lord or fulfilling almost any of the responsibilities of a Christian without agape love. This agape love, first of all, is directed to God, first and foremost. This agape love, secondarily, is then shared amongst those around us. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of agape love. I think we ought to test our motives often. I think this is what Jesus is confronting them about. Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, if you do what you do for the Lord because you love Him supremely, then you're going to keep doing it. If you do what you do for the Lord because you love what comes from the service, you love the feedback. From time to time, I have to pull my staff in, and I can sense a frustration in them. Let me just help all of you that work in ministry. You know what? The people that you sacrifice the most for, a lot of times make the most allowances for, you know what, appreciate it the least. And sometimes when we're not, we have a human reaction to that. Well, I've done so much for them, why don't they appreciate it? We've been over backwards for them, why would they do this? Why would they say this? And I have to remind our staff from time to time, are we doing what we're doing because we love God? Because if we do it for the right reason, because we love the Lord first and foremost, then it really doesn't matter what the reaction of the people are. Now, listen to me, folks. This is just a fact. You're going to spend your life, if you're serving people and helping people, you're going to spend your life investing in people and helping people who most of the time will not appreciate it, not as they should. A lot of times they will not only not appreciate it, but they'll take and take and take and take and then turn around and walk away. Most of the things that you do in the power of God and in the love of God is done privately, not publicly. And nobody's going to know about it. And you know what you've invested, but nobody else knows. And sometimes when that's not returned to us, or we don't see the result of that, or somebody doesn't appreciate it, if we're not careful, we begin to lower our standard and operate in a human love instead of a God love. I'm going to serve the Lord because I love Him. I'm going to try to be a blessing to people ultimately because I love God. If they appreciate it, I'm going to do it because I love God. If they don't appreciate it, I'm going to do it because I love God. Listen, ultimately, you have to do what you do for Him. Okay, because if you're doing it for a selfish reason, and that really, when you lowered the love standards, you've entered into a selfish realm. Okay, well, I'm going to sing in church because I love the Lord. Then you'll be singing in church 10 years from now. Well, I'm going to sing in church because I love people coming to me afterwards and telling me what a good job I'd done. Well, you probably aren't going to be singing 10 years from now because you know what? You're not going to want to sing because people don't always come and tell you what a wonderful person you are. Okay, I'm going to stay in the ministry as long as I'm appreciated. Well, okay then. All right, don't unpack your bags. Seriously, don't unpack your bags. Listen, ultimately, and by the way, it's a wonderful thing when people, when that does come back. And shame on us for not being more thankful. I mean it. Shame on every single one of us for not being more thankful for people that's invested in us. But the honest truth is, you can't do it for that reason. That's just bonus. That's just a blessing. Okay? If it comes, it comes. It's great if it comes. But ultimately, at the end of every day, I want to serve the Lord because of the love that I have for my God. And I want it to consume me. I want that love to be first directed to Him and then from Him through me to other people and allow them to experience the love of God. Now, let me just run this down for you, because if you do a study on agape love, in the Bible, there's so many things that it touches. There's so many areas of your life in which it's required. I mean, we literally cannot function for the Lord to any capacity at all if we do not tap into this level of love, the importance of agape love. I'm going to read a bunch of verses and give you a bunch of things. And if you want to flip around your Bibles, fine. If you want to just listen, that's okay too. Let me just run down these things. Just give you a quick list. Agape love is the first fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22. How important is it? It's number one on the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Agape love is required in both the first and second great commandment. What I just read to you, Mark 12:30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's not a phileo love. That's an agape love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Mark 12:31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't do that with phileo love. It has to be a God love. Number three, agape love is the quality of love that we are commanded to show to our enemies. Luke 6:27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. You look up that word love, chase it back to the Greek. That's agape your enemies. Do good to them that which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. You can't do that with phileo love, because phileo love won't go there. But God's love has already proved that it will go there. But God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God would have operated in the same type of love that we operate in a lot of times, God would say, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to watch. And if you ever get to the point where you're deserving of my love, then I'll give it to you. Well, we'd have all died and gone to hell, because Jesus Christ didn't come and die for our sins because we deserved it. He did it because He loved us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, okay? And so that's the quality of love that can cause you to look to somebody who would, if they could, destroy you. And look at them and say, because of God and His great love, I choose to love you. Now that's an amazing thing. Number four, agape love is the divine attribute shared among true believers that will identify true believers as genuine. Now let that sink in. I know I'm rushing through these, but let me say that again. Let's slow down here and let the caffeine and the coffee kick in. And if you haven't had any this morning, shame on you. You need it every Sunday morning. And or Coke. How many of you get your caffeine buzz through Pepsi? How many of you are just health food nuts and you only drink water? God bless you. Okay, all right, good. I'm going to do that one of these days. Agape love is the divine attributes shared among true believers that will identify true believers as genuine. I love this. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. That's Jesus speaking. That you agape, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, church, listen to me. When lost people or visitors, people from the world come out into this church, there ought to be an amazement when they watch the love that they see, not just bestowed upon them, but as they watch the assembly bestow love upon each other. That is what identifies us as true believers. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, oh, preacher, it's just hard to love everybody all the time. It is if you're trying to operate in phileo love. It is if you want to run around with this selfish love. Okay, listen, I love everybody in this church. I love you if you love me. I love you if you hate me. I love you when you smile at me. I love when you frown at me. I love you when you say you're the greatest preacher in the world, and I love you when you say you're a nigger. I promise you this is true. I mean this. It's not that I'm some super Christian, but I'm going to tell you something. I decided a long time ago, I'm not giving anybody in the world the power to ruin my day. Okay? I mean, if you don't like me, I'm sorry. That's really your problem. It's not mine. I love you. I've made a decision. I don't do it because I'm superhuman. I do it because I've got a supernatural God that will let me and has taught me how to love people. And so I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you if you root for me. I'll love you if you root against me. I'll love you if you're here. I'll love you if you leave. I'm not going to walk in every week and put Blessed Hope Baptist Church on trial and say, okay, who deserves my love and who doesn't? Shame on you that do that. I mean, look right up here. Shame on you that do that. Well, I used to love her. Wait a minute. What do you mean this used to? I thought love never failed. What you just said was I phileo them, not I agape them. Because if you agape them, you'd love them as much today as you used to love them, okay? Don't come to my office, married, you know, Christian married people come off. Well, I just don't love him anymore. Well, wait a minute. Shame on you. What you just told me was you don't flail him anymore. That's selfish love. Agape love says agape love never fails. And so you make a decision, okay? And so love the brethren. Love them. You say, preacher, sometimes they're not very lovable. You're not either all the time, and neither am I. So aren't you glad God doesn't get up every morning and say, well, let me see what kind of mood he's in today, see whether or not I can love him. God doesn't do that. God loves us not because of what we are, but despite what we are. He loves it because of who he is. And so let's tap into that, church. Let's tap into that. Number five, agape love is the motivation behind our obedience to Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you agape me, keep my commandments. When you graduate to this level of love, you don't resent the commandments of God. It's easy to obey the commandments of God if you tap into agape love. Number six, agape love activates the promise of Romans 8:28 for the believer. Now, this is an amazing verse that usually we quote about half of it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Wait a minute. We usually just say, and we know that all things work together for good. No, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That agape love activates Romans 8:28. How about number seven? Agape love shown to our neighbor fulfills the law. I love these verses. This is wonderful. Owe no man anything. Romans 13, verse 8, 9, 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Wow. I just want to take a step back and say, I don't know if you got that or not. I mean, you heard it or not. Did you get that? Okay. Well, how can you just obey one commandment, and if you obey one commandment, it will cause you to fulfill all the other commandments? Because if you agape your neighbor as yourself, this list he just talked about, thou shalt not kill, you know what? Listen, if you love somebody with this level of love, of course you're not going to kill them. Now, that takes care of that other command, thou shalt not steal. If you love somebody as God loved me and God loved you, You're not going to steal from them. See how love just kind of takes care of everything? If you love somebody, you're not going to bear false witness against them. You're not going to lie about them. If you love somebody, you're not going to covet what they have. You're going to be glad for what they have, that they have what they have. And if there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If you devise ill, plot revenge, hold a grudge, try to sabotage somebody's life in some way, you are operating in a very worldly, human type of emotion. God does not do that. And God does not treat us like that. And so when we tap into his love, then all of these things become available. Agape love is the primary gift that a man is commanded to give his wife. I can help married people right here if you'll listen to me. Agape love is the primary gift that a man is commanded to give to his wife, and the primary gift that a woman is to bestow upon her husband and children. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Had a young couple come to my office here. You wouldn't know who they were. You wouldn't have a clue, so when you think you do, you're wrong, okay? They don't attend this church. They came in and just having marriage problems, just asked just me to counsel. And I listened to them for about 15 minutes. I said, what seems to be the problem? Listen to this. I finally cut her off, and what seems to be the problem? And I said, this is great. I said, a lot of times things come in and it's so complex and it's so multi-layered, and this is going to be easy. I can fix this real quick. I can help you right now, and I don't think we'll have to meet again after today. And they just both looked at me and said, I looked at each other like, well, okay, good. I said, let me tell you what your problem is, and let me tell you what your problem is. You're both selfish. Yeah, I got about that quiet in the room, too. I said, all I've heard from you is he don't do this for me. You know? All I've heard from you is she don't do this for me. Wait a minute. Stop. That is not how God loved you, and that is not how God loved you. God didn't love you because of what we did for him. He loved us because he chose to. Now, if you choose to love your husband, and if you choose to love your wife, and you ask God to give you a divine love, you know what? This marriage isn't going to have any. I'm not saying you'll never hit a bump in the road. I'm saying it's going to be fine. Now, the honest truth, look right up here. Come on. Most every problem in our life can be traced back to selfishness. Almost every problem in our life can be traced back to selfishness. Almost every frustration in our life can be traced back to selfishness. Okay, you know why you get frustrated? Because you have unrealistic expectations. Okay? Well, if he just give me what I deserve, that's our problem. I'm going to preach on that. It's going to be on the sign. Hopefully, we won't have anybody out there protesting it. But listen to me. Watch this. I'm not going to get into the sermon, although I'm very tempted to right now, because I got good stuff on this. But one of the saddest things that's grabbed hold of the last two or three generations is an entitlement mentality, a welfare entitlement mentality. And you know what that basically says? Somebody owes me something. Somebody owes me something. They owe me this. God, you know why a lot of Christians are walking in their heart bitter against God? Because you really believe that God owes you something he hasn't given you. Yes, he does owe you something he hasn't given you. And he owed me something he didn't give me. You know, folks, listen, one of the reasons, this is a great protection against bitterness from the Lord. Time you're tempted to get a little bitter from God because you feel like he withheld something from you, you better be thankful for what he did withhold from us. Don't ever look to God and say, well, I just want what I deserve. No, you don't, and neither do I. Most of our frustrations in life because we have somebody who we feel like is not doing what we deserve for us, and that's our frustration in life. And the honest truth is we need to turn that thing around. We need to say, you know what? What we need to do is stop being worried about what everybody ought to be doing for me. We ought to focus our life on what can I do for others. And if you get that into a marriage, I was talking to these two knucklehead kids down here. I couldn't talk them out of getting married. I spent 2.5 hours with them yesterday talking to them. And Brother Jeffrey didn't do a... good. They're just, when they get to this point, there ain't no talking to them. They're just, you know, they're going to do it no matter what you say. But no, we got to do some marriage counseling. And I said, you know, it seems like a lot of, this is crazy. I've seen married couples that literally get up, and whether they have it or not, they might as well have a 3x5 card or a piece of paper in their pocket. And every single time they can do something to aggravate, irritate, or cause their partner some grief, they feel like they got a point. And they got this little mental card that they're keeping score. And at the end of the day, if they aggravated the person more than they were aggravated, they feel like they won that day. If that's a marriage, good night. God help you. I said, I want you to kind of carry a mental card, but this is what you ought to do with that card. You ought to say, you know what, I'm going to outdo my husband and my wife, whatever, today. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make them happier than they can make me. I'm going to make them happier than they can make me. I mean, if my wife does something for me, your action will be, oh, steak, now she's ahead. I got to do something to fix this, you know. You show me a couple that decides they're going to spend their life trying to outdo each other. If you're just competitive and you got to have something, then decide you're going to outdo each other in this matter of making each other happy. And my job in life is to make her happier than she can make me. And I think I do that. I win almost every day. I win that, you know. But so much of it is just natural. It just flows out of me, you know. I really don't even have to try that much. Okay, I'm in trouble. Yes, I know. What do they do? Lord, don't strike me dead. But that ought to be our heartbeat. That ought to be what we work towards. And listen, take that same mentality and take it to everybody you meet in life, you know. Well, I wish my boss was a better boss. Why don't you walk into work tomorrow saying, I'm gonna be a better employee? Right? I wish my children were better children. I got an idea. Why don't you just change your whole thinking on that and tomorrow start trying to be a better parent? Well, I wish my mom and dad... Oh, no, stop. Why don't you be a better son or a better daughter? We are so worried about what other people aren't being for us that we seldom stop and look at what we're doing and what we're being to everybody around us. Do you know what, folks? I can't control anybody around me, but I can control how I am to them. And you know what? I really believe this. I think in life you reap what you sow. And I just live with this crazy idea that if I'm super nice and kind and loving and helpful to as many people as I can, I think some of that's probably going to come around. But whether it does or doesn't, that's not going to be my motivation. And so, man alive, I tell you what the world needs to see. They need to see Christians. Just Christians, you know. I got this guy at work and he's just such a jerk, and I've been thinking all weekend how I'm going to get him back on Monday. I got an idea. Listen, take him a piece of your wife's pie. Well, depending on how your wife bakes, it might be a good thing, it might be a bad thing, I don't know. But no, I'm sure it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Of course it's a good thing. But are you listening to me? We give people in our lives too much control. We just give them too much control. One person says one thing to the average Christian and they're in a funk for an entire week. I'm sorry. I am not giving anybody the power to ruin an entire week in my life. I'm not. Preacher, I've been praying for you and worried about you. My little daughter, granddaughter Shaylee, when she was going home last week, she said, those men are hurting Papa's feelings. They're hurting Papa's feelings. And, you know, she's worried about Papa. And listen, I'm not giving anybody that kind of power in my life. Brother Arthur's here, right? Where's Arthur out? Brother Arthur got saved last Sunday morning. And I got to go by and see him yesterday and had a great visit at his house. And I'd been praying all week about his daughter Lauren, who actually came to church first and then got Dad to come to church. And I watched Lauren when you were getting saved, and I seen her last Sunday standing back there, and she kind of had that look on her face, I thought, that said, boy, I wish I'd went with thee. So I prayed all week for her, went to his house yesterday, got to go through the Bible with him and give him some assurance verses. And boy, she's listening. And I turned around and I said, Lauren, I've been praying for you all week, and asked if I could talk to her. And I always ask her this, you know, as you've been hearing the Sunday school lessons, Mrs. Reiser's class and the preaching the last several weeks, do you ever feel in your heart as if God's doing something, as if he is urging you to be saved? And she just immediately went, yes. And there I saw that the Lord was working in her life. And I opened the Bible, and Dad got to sit there and watch his daughter get saved. And one of the sweetest prayers, I mean this, I led her in the sinner's prayer, but when I said this, I said, now I'm going to pray these, I'm going to lead you in what to pray, but don't just repeat the words. You have to be sincere, and they really have to be offered to the Lord. And that little sweet girl, I'm telling you what, I was about in tears the time she got done praying. Because I'm doing it, you know, I'm saying, dear Jesus. And she goes, dear Jesus. Just, oh my goodness sake. When I said, please forgive me for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Oh my goodness, I could hardly finish the prayer. And the sincerity and the sweetness. Listen, I'm not letting 4 men in dresses rob me of that. Okay, there's 100,000 things more important going on around Blessed Hope Baptist Church than whether or not we've got 4, 3, 6, or 8 men out there in dresses today. Whatever they want to do, that's fine. But we're going to stay focused. I'm going to stay focused on what this thing's all about. Let's stay after souls. Let's stay after souls. That was exciting. I just wanted to share that blessing with you. Woo! I didn't walk out of that house. I just floated out of that house, man. That was exciting. I appreciate this man. Get to know Arthur there. Get to know him. He's a good man. All right. Let me get this done quick. We got 3 or 4 minutes. Agape love shown to our neighbor fulfills the law. Agape love is the primary gift a man is commanded to give his wife and a wife to bestow upon her husband and children. Agape love active in a purified church, a spirit-filled church. Should be active in a purified church, a spirit-filled church, and should be shared without guile in all pureness and fervently among the brethren. You say, that's a lot of words. Well, let me read you the verse. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls, so agape love should be pure love. Okay? Watch out for the predator that wants to mimic agape love, but it's not a pure love with pure motive. Okay? Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Wow. Wow, there's a truckload in that verse. So agape love should be active in a purified church. It should be the product of a spirit-filled church. It should be shared without guile, unfeigned love. It should be shared in all pureness, and it should be shared fervently among the brethren. You shouldn't just love each other. You ought to love each other fervently. That's what God says. Agape love should not be given to the world, but instead should be reserved for God and for others. When I speak of the world, it's speaking of the world system here. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, preacher, what happens when we stop operating through the love of God? What starts happening? What happens to a church when all of a sudden we begin to operate in a love that's only produced from the flesh, a natural love? Let me say this, a selfish love. Then God looks down and says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. We fell. We've fallen at that point. Okay? And he says, and do the first works. See, the problem with leaving the first love is pretty soon you'll leave the first works. Okay? If you love lost souls, watch this. If you love lost souls, then you're going to, agape love lost souls, then you're going to be involved in outreach. You're going to be involved in winning people to Christ. You're going to want to get the gospel out. You got to look back. If you really have lost your desire to witness to anybody or to see anybody saved, you know what honestly has happened? You've lost your first love, because your first love always produces the first works. Okay? If you've lost the desire to serve the Lord and to do what he would want you to do, then really what you've done is you've lost your first love. You've left it. And so if we get the love thing fixed, everything else will fall in place. I got a minute. Let me end with this illustration. Okay, look right up here and give me the full 60 seconds. We'll get you out of here. But you know what? Peter backslid. Okay, don't look pious. You've done it too, and so have I. He backslid. He got all cattlywopped and disillusioned. Things didn't go exactly the way he thought they ought to go. He not only backslid, he dragged some other Christians out with him. I go fishing. Jesus, remember the story? Calls out to him, gets him back on the shore. And he asked him 3 questions. Because there's only really one way to fix backsliding. There's only one way to fix coldness, because Jesus got right to the heart of the problem. What was his issue? His issue was a love issue. And he said, I want to ask you something. He's going to ask you three times. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? You know what he's saying, Peter? He was saying, listen to me. I can fix this thing in your life. There's not a Christian in here. He said, preacher, I don't know why I'm so cold, and I don't know why I'm so uncaring, and I don't know why I have to work so hard at this Christian thing, and I feel like half the time I'm just playing a role, and I can help you. And listen, I can help you. You're where most of us have been at some point or the other. Nobody's judging. Nobody's looking down their nose at you. But here's the issue. It's a love issue. Something has captured your love. Something, or you now love something or somebody more than you love an almighty God. You're not operating in the love that's available through us from God. You're trying to operate in this kind of selfish, well, I'll do this, but somebody better appreciate it. Graduate from that. Graduate from that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just giving us this lesson. Help us all, dear God, in this very, very sacred arena of love. Help us to understand how important it is, how helpless we are if we do not allow you to love through us. Lord, I pray that this has been an encouragement. Help that Christian that's just grown a little cold or gotten a little bit off track, or help them to identify the thing that has stolen their love from you. And, Lord, may we seek that sweet fellowship once again. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the service that will follow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.